Somebody say fire.
Fire.
There's got to be more. There's got to be more. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29. And I honor every leader in this church. I am so humbled that you chose to have me today. I'm extremely humbled. And I bless the Lord for the time that we are about to have. I believe that I have heard specifically from the throne room of the Almighty God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29 makes this statement. Somebody say statement. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. Say, that's my God. That's my God. Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Are you saved? And wait for an answer. If they are not saved, bring them to the altar today. Because where we are going next is hotter than where we've come. But you cannot get to the next level until you've passed salvation. Who is saved in this place today? Are you born again in the house today? Hey! Watch this. The Lord says, the Bible says, the Lord is a consuming fire. Right there. Right there. Consuming fire. Right there, something on the inside of you should start saying that there's got to be more. If my life has not been consumed in God, there's got to be more. The title for my message, you guys can sit, you can jump, you can spin, you can play your guitar, you can shout. It doesn't bother me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The title for this message today is The Consummation of God. The root word is consuming. That is where we pick up the title. The writer of Hebrew, whom I believe is Paul, though there is no written evidence, says that the Lord is a consuming fire. And if you look at the word consummation, it means to bring it to its final end, to its finality. In a marriage, consummation means when a man and a woman consummate their marriage. And that is all I'll say about that. It's first time on the pulpit, so I'll behave myself. But that is all I'll say. For those who have an ear of the Spirit, let them hear. The man and his wife consummate a marriage. But if the word consummate means to bring to an end, does a marriage end the first time that they consummate? No. It means that after this end, there is something new to begin. After this end, there is something new to begin. The Lord is a consuming fire. After you've been consumed, there is new life in Him. The Bible talks about two men, disciples, men who walked with Jesus for 3 years. One's name was John, the other one's name was Peter. They were very close companions, very close friends, but two totally different personalities. The Bible says that John was a man who was well collected. He could hang with the high priests, and he could also sling swords with Peter. John was composed. The Bible calls John the beloved of the Lord. The Bible says that John was satisfied with just resting on the breast of Jesus. He was comfortable in the presence of God. And the Bible says that Peter, on the other hand, was a wild man. Peter was cut from a different cloth. Peter is the guy who walks into the party and messes everything up, falls the tables, and just you. When he shows up, you're like, oh my God, Peter is here. Something is about to happen. Peter, somebody say Peter. Somebody say Peter. When Peter comes for Thanksgiving, you know what's about to happen at the table. When Peter comes for the family reunion, he's the one who will mess everything up. Somebody say Peter. I don't think there are any Peters in this place, but every one of us will claim to be John. But I can tell you that if you really search the word of God, you will find that there's a Peter in every one of us. Peter, somebody say Peter. Peter was a man who Jesus had called the rock. And one translator in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says it, that Jesus actually called him the solid stone. The stone that stands. Now, to me, you see, I'm amazed that Jesus would call Peter a rock. Because if today I took my brother who has a beard almost like mine, but he's worked on his a bit longer, and he called me a rock. I told you, Noah, you are a rock. Depending on what culture you're from, someone may think I have insulted him and called him as dumb as a rock. A rock doesn't move. A rock doesn't do anything. It just stays there. Right? So in when Jesus is giving out names, he gives to some of his disciples, Andrew, and calls them the sons of thunder. I want to be a son of thunder. Don't call me a rock. I want to be a son of thunder. But Peter has been called a rock. And Peter finds himself at very unique points because the Bible says that Peter was the first in many things. Peter was the first one he was the first one to be called an apostle. Peter was the first one to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, Peter was the first true convert. Peter was also the first one whom Jesus rebuked. Peter was also the first one whom Jesus blessed and called him and gave him the keys to the church. Peter, if you study the word of God, is the one who talked the most to Jesus. In fact, Peter overshadowed every conversation and every stupid or silly question. You find Jesus being asked. Guess who asked it? Peter. But you wonder, why would Jesus say that in the life of Peter, you shall be the foundation that the church will be laid on? The man who many of us would assume he was a rugged man, a rough man, a man who was more talk than action. A man who on one breath will say, Lord, call me out to the boat and I will walk on water. But the moment he gets in the middle of that water, he begins to sink. Why? The man, Peter, who told Jesus, he looks at Jesus and says, I will die with you. I will go where you go. I will do everything you do. If anyone can say that they will be with you to the end, Peter. Peter, the one whom when Jesus humbled himself and was washing the feet of the disciples, Peter said, no, not me. You cannot wash my feet. It is beneath you, my Lord. Then the moment Jesus told him, what I do, you do not understand. Peter said in his foolishness, don't just wash my feet. He began to remove his clothes, wash my body also. Peter is an interesting fellow. Peter is a very interesting fellow. But you wonder, why would Jesus use Peter as the foundation for the church? Because today I tell you, Peter is more like the church like anyone else. Peter is like the church who go to the pastor and tell him, we will be with you every time. From beginning to the end, we will be with you. But let persecution come. Let problems come. They begin to leave the church. How many of you have had friends who told you they are going to stay with you? You've had a husband who said at the altar, through thick and thin, I will be with you. Through sickness and in wealth. Then the moment problems began, the moment you begin to reveal the real self of who you are, he leaves you. Peter, the church. Peter is more like us than you know. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 18 that when the darkest hour, when evil was having its day, Pastor, evil, The devil in hell was celebrating that we've got him. Jesus has been arrested. And he went down and the demons went down to the pits of hell. And they were giving a report and they said that we got him. The Son of God is in our hands. He's been interrogated at Caiaphas's house. Evil was having their day. Peter, he did not live out his promise. Peter, who said, I will die with you. The Bible says he was hiding, following from afar. Where did he go? Following from afar, hiding. Did they see me? Will they see me? Have they seen me? Following from afar, read it in John chapter 18. Hiding. Have you ever hidden that you're a disciple? Have you ever wanted people not to know you're a Christian in the midst of the darkest hour? When the nation is changing laws, how many Christians are willing to stand up and say, before I'm an American, I'm a Christian? There is a law that I stand by which cannot be changed, cannot be broken. The law that God established from the foundations of the earth is not like the constitution that sits in Washington, that they change with a signature. That law was put in place and no man, no woman, no cat, no dog, nothing has the ability to change that law. It is what it is. We are in this world, but not of it. Peter, following from afar, following from a distance. Then you see, Peter is very interesting. Because the Bible says in the book of John chapter 18, and you can read it. For the sake of time, I'll give you the scripture and you go and reference it. That Peter, when Jesus was being persecuted by Caiaphas' house outside the temple, Peter stood at the fire warming himself. His hands were stretched out warm in the fire of this world. Peter, warm on the outside, but cold as ice on the inside. Cold as ice. Dead man's bones on the inside. And Peter says, I've seen this man resurrect the dead. He even taught me how to do miracles. He taught me how to walk in that power which he walks in. But Peter is outside warming himself in his hands. Have you ever been at a time when you're suffering and your closest friend doesn't even have the heart to come close to you? The people you thought would be there at your darkest moment. You know, some of the greatest pain that you have is pain that will be brought from your family, the people who got closest to you. Jesus understands that because one day he was being whipped. A crown of thorns was being put on him. And the Bible says his closest companion. And Peter and John were not like any other disciples because those two are the ones who Jesus took in the secret place of prayer. The two of them. You know, Peter has a foolishness that I am coming to understand. Jesus takes Peter and John into prayer on the day of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the middle of their prayer, my sister, Jesus is in agony, crying, praying. And I wonder, when Peter was standing warming himself at the fire, did he forget the conversation that he had with Jesus? Just 1 meal away, they were having a conversation about the crucifixion of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Peter warming himself at the fire. How many of you have found yourself? I know I have, and I'm not ashamed. My strength is only found in God. There are times when I should have stood up, but I sat down. There are times when I should have cried out, but I shut my mouth. There are times when even for me, I was walking by someone and God said, I want you to sit with that person in the mall and tell them the gospel. Speak to them about Jesus. And I said, Lord, they laugh at me. They're going to talk about me. There are times when God tells you to invite your friend to church, but you decide I can't call them. They know who I really am. I sinned with them. I did all these things. I can't invite them to church, or they're not going to come. They're going to laugh at me. That is a life of a man who has not been consumed. Because the moment you've been consumed by the fire of God, all those things don't matter. When the fire of God consumes you, the only thing that matters is God. I said this in the first service, and I say it to you today, not to show anything about me, but me and my family burnt everything, as Pastor preached last Sunday. Everything down for us to follow Christ. Today I preach in Africa, and we've seen 22,000 souls coming into the kingdom of God in 6 months. And I tell God, that is the reason I am here. But it took a consummation. It took the fire of God burning in me. It hasn't always been that easy. Buy my book, Firebrand. It's out there on the table. You'll see. It hasn't always been that easy. There was a time I was comfortable in business. We had very good contracts, government contracts, jewelry, television. We were selling everything, and business was going well. But one day, I had my night like Peter did. The Bible says in the book of Luke that after Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus looked at Peter in the face. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And he held his face down and he began to weep. I remember my day when Jesus looked at me and saying, "Evans, is the life you're living the life I've called you to live?" I couldn't even stand on a microphone and preach. God said, "Take everything and burn it away." I was raised in the dirty slums of Mathare. Poor in a way that you cannot understand until you see it. So to me, when I have succeeded, I think I'm never going back there. But God says, "Evans, I want you to take your shoes off. This very expensive life that you think you've built in America. And I want you to take your feet back and stamp them in the trash of Mathare. And if you do it, I will put a microphone on one hand and a Bible in the other, and the fire of the Spirit in you." I sat, and I'm telling you, it's not easy. When God comes to burn in you, it's not easy. You're at a valley of decision. You're at a time when you have to make a choice. You know, it's easy to stand in a warm, air-conditioned building and say, "Set a fire in my soul." But when God looks at you in the face and says, "Really, do you want me to do it? Do you really want me to do it? Do you want me to burn away the boyfriend? Do you want me to burn away that ungodly relationship? Do you want me to burn away the house? To burn away every false security? Do you want me to burn away?" I remember when we started ministry, we had donors from the front to the back. "We'll be with you, we'll be with you, we'll be with you." The moment we really started taking off, a few of them started dropping off. And I'm wondering why. But one day God told me, it's a consummation. Because where I'm taking you is greater than where you've been. But I cannot put new wine in old wineskins. We have to get rid of the old to receive the new. Peter had the loneliest night. Loneliest night in his life. As we are winding down, Peter, he has seen Jesus look at him after he denied him 3 times. I don't know if you've ever denied God when he expected you to stand up for him. But anyway, Peter, He goes. The Bible says that Peter, he runs away weeping. He runs away with, "I denied him. I walked with him for 3 years. I told him that I'll be there for him when he needed me the most. I told him I'll go to the cross with you. I told him I'll stand with him at the darkest hour. But when he needed me, I denied him. When he needed me, I shied away from him. God. I wonder if Peter remembered the night before, just 6 hours before then, they were sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus in agonia, in agony, Jesus was praying. And not just ordinary tears, but he was sweating blood. I've never seen my master sweat blood before. What's wrong, master? What is it, Lord? And it's not warm. It wasn't a warm night. It was winter. The Bible says they were warming themselves in the fire, for it was cold. It was a winter's night. So if Jesus was sweating, something must be going on. And in the middle of all that, the Bible says two men with light, clothed with light, appeared to minister to Jesus. And Peter, in his foolishness, begins to interrupt Jesus. In the middle of prayer, say, Lord, should I make tents for the three of you? Should I make a dwelling place for the three of you? You know, before God has consumed you, you don't even know your day of visitation. You don't even know the days you should be sensitive to God. That is why in America today, the church is plagued with a church that statistics says 97% of believers today are still baby Christians. A statistic was taken of the church, and 97% are still baby Christians. Please tell me, if you're still at the elementary stage of things, how can God take the church to where he wants us to go? How many of you, if today the chief in command of the armed forces, President Obama, stood and said, my fellow Americans, I took an analysis of our armed forces. I went down to Florida. I went down to Kentucky. I went down to Texas. I went across the borders. I went all around. Took an analysis of our Air Force. Took an analysis of our armed forces. Took an analysis of the CSI. Is the CSI or what? CSI. Took an analysis of the CSI. CIA, thank you. CSI is something else, I think. Forgive me. They will be CSI today. I took an analysis of the armed guards. And I am proud to tell you today that our armed forces are a bunch of Boy Scouts. How many of you would feel safe in this country? Jesus did not feel. He felt like, Peter knew that he had been tried in the fire and he was found wanting. There are times that you can think you're the strongest Christian to ever live, but let God try you with fire. You know, it's an amazing thing that Peter said in the book of Acts. After he has gone through the baptism of fire that night at Pentecost, the resurrection, Peter said that what I have is not of my own. When he went to see Cornelius and the Holy Spirit fell on them, he said, who am I to deny the arm of God? When God comes as a consuming fire, he'll burn away the pride, he'll burn away racism. Brothers and sisters, please come. This is my sister. Brothers and sisters
Are we different color? Me, I don't think so. You, no. Yeah. Come. This is me in a different hairstyle. When the fire of God comes, this is how the church looks like. And this is how Life Church is going to look like. Come on and give the Lord amen for that. And I'm telling you today, if this makes you uncomfortable, there are some things that God still has to burn out of you. If you have a problem with pride, please have your seat. If you have a problem with selfishness, Peter was the worst of them. He had them all in him. If you have a problem thinking you can do it all by yourself, Peter, one night, I'm telling you, on the day of Good Friday, 13 men were crucified. Jesus being their leader and 12 disciples after him, because they all had an experience of death on their own. Peter went to a place and cried all night because he had denied his friend. Because he had something on the inside of him that he thought he had but really did not have. But that night created a hunger on the inside of Peter. If you study the word of God, if you see the conversation that Peter had after that night, when Jesus talked to Peter, before then Peter would answer him and tell him, in fact, Peter told Jesus, he rebuked Jesus. But after that night of denying him, Peter told Jesus, "You know all things. You know all things." And that is what the Lord is looking for in his church. We said this in the first service, that some Christians today have been like counterfeit watches, counterfeit computers, counterfeit electronics. You buy an electronic that looks like the real thing but is fake. It looks like the real fire, the real Apple, the real iPhone, the real Galaxy. But the moment you put it to the test, the charger begins to die, the battery begins to die, it goes. If you've been to a circus, there is something they call circus fire. And some fire is, it looks exactly like fire, but you put your hand in it, does not burn. It's high time that Christians begin to burn. It's high time that our fire becomes real. We say that Christianity today, we are living in a time when Christians are like cowboys with a big hat, but no cattle. A dog with a big bark, but no bite. Until unbelievers can walk into this place and feel the fire and the presence of God, we've not reached where we need to be. Until you can have a conversation with someone and they feel the presence of God out of your voice, you offer them a solution that's out of this world, we as believers have not walked into where we need to be. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 22 that after Peter experienced his night of being consumed by the fire of God, after Peter waited until God touched him and moved in him, he preached the greatest sermon on the day of Pentecost. But I'm telling you, it did not start at Pentecost. It began at the cross. Acts chapter 3 verse 36. The same Peter who said, "Silver and gold I have none," said, "Such as I have, I give unto you." You may not be left with all the wealth in the world when God has consumed you. But he will give you power from another world. Today I stand as a man who can look and say, if I stayed doing business and doing the things of the world, I'd have made so much more money. But today I can tell you my life is much more satisfactory than it would have been in the world. When God comes into your life, he will touch your family, he will touch your finances, he will touch your life, and he will touch the inner parts of your beings. At the end of the life of Peter, he writes one of the greatest, most humble, and I encourage you to go read the book of Peter. I read it and I wondered, is this the same Peter talking? He has been so humbled. But all you can see in the book of Peter is the glory of God. I pray to God that he will light a fire today in Life Church that will take us from where we are. In the book of John chapter 8 verse 18, and turn us to the apostles of the book of Acts. If you want to be part of this move that God is causing, and you're saying, Lord, light a fire in me, let's all stand up in the house of the Lord today. We've said today that we are that leaf that God can burn. That leaf that God can burn. And under the leadership of our pastor, under his leadership, may God cause a burning in this place that will bring an awakening, not only in this neighborhood, not only in this county, not only in this state, but in the world. I have come to see two things that I would like to encourage Americans with. When you send your missionaries to other parts of the world, make sure they are men on fire. Make sure they are men on fire. Because missionaries are going out and being consumed by the world out there. They are meeting witch doctors, they are meeting idols, idol worshippers, and now we have an antichrist movement called Al-Shabaab and ISIS who are targeting men and women who profess their faith. In this hour, if you don't know what you believe in, you need to be weeping like Peter. And if your pastor is not weeping, which I know he is, weep for your pastor, cry for him to get a desire for a burning. Because the Christianity of this day, the Christianity of this day, will have to look at the devil in the face and tell him, I know that's what the law says, but I'm not going that way. I'm a Christian first before I'm an American. Let's pray. Lift up your hands. Father, your word says that you alone are the baptizer in fire. John the Baptist baptized with water, but you baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. Your word says that you make your ministers a flame. Lord, if you can take 12 and make 120 a flame, that today we are standing and worshiping under the name of Jesus because of their work. We are the ones now standing here before you and saying, make us a flame. Someone say, make me a flame. Set a fire in my soul. Burn away the chaff. Shake everything that needs to be shaken. Burn away everything that needs to be burned. And let the pure things remain. Say it with me. There has to be born in me a desire for change. There has to be born in me
a desire.